Just because inflation is tame doesn't mean you're not paying more. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. It's not just us. Have you noticed some consumer products, toilet paper, cat litter, garbage bags are getting more expensive? The Wall Street Journal did some digging and noticed some of these prices are tracking higher than the generally tame inflation data would lead us to believe, with the Consumer Price Index, the main gauge of the retail prices that we pay, due on Wednesday. I want to start the week here by checking in with economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives in New York.
We are seeing some pickup in goods inflation, and that reflects rising input costs, but also some evidence that tariffs are passing through to goods prices. But there's a lot of other forces that are keeping inflation contained. So number one is gasoline prices have fallen. Number two is consumers spend a lot on services, things like rent. I know rents are rising, but they're rising more slowly. The pace of rental inflation has moderated somewhat. So you put all these forces together, and inflation is still pretty moderate.
All right. And that also helps the Fed make its case that they may not have to raise interest rates anytime soon.
That is the linchpin of the case. So if inflation isn't accelerating, you can't really say the economy's overheating. So why are you going to raise interest rates any further? So it really does all come back to the inflation outlook.
We'll know more about that on Wednesday. Economist Julia Coronado, Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you.
My pleasure.
So tame inflation, but again, it depends what you're paying for and where. Rent in some California cities is through the roof. A not fancy one-bedroom in San Francisco these days can run $3,500 a month. Voters statewide rejected a rent control measure last fall, but elected officials are looking for other ways to slow rent increases. From KPBS in San Diego, Amitha Sharma reports.
Chad Regazzi found out last year his rent was going up $300 on his apartment just outside San Diego so his landlords could install a sound system in his bathroom. Not something he particularly wants.
Who needs a Bluetooth speaker in their bathroom apartment? You know, it's weird.
This Veterans Administration employee says he felt powerless to challenge his landlords.
I mean, who's going to tell him no?
Most California cities don't have rent control, but there's talk about proposing a new law that would bar landlords from raising rent above a certain percentage. Democratic State Senator Scott Wiener says California is short millions of homes.
That shortage is leading to displacement, evictions, people becoming homeless, working families, leaving young people, not having stable housing.
One possible plan, a change that would resemble current limits that bar businesses from raising prices by more than 10% during natural disasters.
Just like when there's a fire, you pass an anti-rent gouging ordinance. The state has had a fire. It's called a housing crisis.
That's Oakland Mayor Libby Schaaf speaking at a mayor's forum in November. Landlords are skeptical about the idea. The California Apartment Association represents the rental housing industry. Spokeswoman Deborah Carlton says the limit could dissuade cities from addressing the core problem, lack of housing.
You can't just put a cap without looking at cities and saying, what are you doing to make sure that this housing crisis doesn't continue?
Back in the San Diego area, Chad Regazzi is in a new apartment now, but his new place just got new owners, and that could mean a new rent increase.
It's like nerve-wracking.
And it's why he says he favors a rent cap. In San Diego, I'm Amitha Sharma for Marketplace.
We're also watching U.S.-China trade talks that resume in Beijing today with the U.S. Treasury Secretary and the U.S. Trade Representative due to join in on Thursday. If there's no deal by March the 1st, U.S. tariffs will rise from 10 to 25% with retaliation expected. President Trump suggested last week that he may not be meeting with China's premier before the deadline after all, which market players took as a sign the trade war could soon escalate.
Hi, I'm Zach, and I listen to Marketplace in Arlington, Virginia. I think what I appreciate the most about Marketplace is their ability to take the economic news of the day, issues such as tariffs, rate hikes, and tax reform, cut through the political noise, and clearly and concisely explain not only how these issues affect our country and the rest of the world, but how they impact people like me. I hope you'll consider joining me as a Marketplace investor and donate today at marketplace.org to help make their work possible.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Now, economically distressed Venezuela, where the government is in desperate need of U.S. dollars as the local currency deflates and the president's hold on power being challenged. The BBC's Daniel Gallas is following this. Good morning.
Good morning.
The Venezuelan government really needs some hard currency, some U.S. dollars.
Yeah, so for a long time, the government controlled the exchange rate, which in effect meant that the government chose what its currency was worth. Of course, it doesn't work like that in normal economies. It's about supply and demand. And so there was a black market that pretty much priced Venezuela's currency at a very low rate. In effect, it's devaluating its currency in the hopes that it can actually get the money from Venezuelans abroad into the government's pockets.
So if one is a Venezuelan lucky enough to have some U.S. dollars, you could have gone to the black market and gotten more than 3,000 bolivars for your dollar. Now you could just sell it officially to the government, maybe get a few more.
Yes, basically the government was left out of all these money transfers that are happening. And this is now a substantial part of the economy. If we think that 3 million people left Venezuela in the past few years, and a lot of these people, they're sending money back to their families because just a little tiny amount of dollars goes a long way in Venezuela. So this used to be not such a big part of the economy. Now it's a driving force, and the government was effectively not part of it because of this whole black market that developed.
Daniel Gallas is the BBC's South America business correspondent. Daniel, thanks.
Thank you.
With a teachable moment there on foreign currency controls and the alternative markets they create. And when companies pay employees in stock options, the outfit that manages this plumbing is Solium Capital of Canada. There's news that Wall Street giant Morgan Stanley is buying Solium for $900 million, in part on the hope that the subset of those stock option employees who get rich will already be acquainted with Morgan Stanley and someday confer upon Morgan Stanley other business. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.